is Sunday, July 14th. It is about 13 or 14 hours after a would-be assassin shot at Donald Trump at a Butler, Pennsylvania rally and hit him in the ear. And I'm making this podcast right now because I think it's going to be an interesting time capsule for me. First, I want to say that I'm glad that Donald Trump is alive and well. No matter what you think of his policies, it must be acknowledged that a broad swath of the American people intend to vote for him, and the idea that he could be killed or maimed in an incident like this is grotesque. People who have heard my program before know that I am moderate-leaning and I am not the biggest fan of Trump, but there's no denying that these photos will go down as some of the most iconic moments of political defiance and political expertise. That photo with Trump with his fist in the air with the American flag behind him, I'm going to guess, is going to go down as one of the most historic photos in all of the American archives. And make no mistake, the gears are already turning in the conspiracy theory machine. And the false claims and the assertions that are popping up all over the internet. On X, formerly known as Twitter, there's over 228,000 posts on the platform using the word staged after Trump. And that is the next trending topic there. There is no evidence that this was staged. And just a further point here, the shooter was 150 yards away and took a shot at Trump. To be 150 yards away from Trump and even hit him at all would be very, very difficult. But to hit Trump directly in the ear in a way that he wouldn't have been, you know, seriously damaged by, in a way that you could orchestrate this so that this was non-lethal for him and was just a PR incident, is borderline impossible, I'm going to go ahead and say. And there are two dead bystanders, or one dead bystander, I guess. Antifa is also another trending topic here. And this is 100% going to be a mess because some of the facts surrounding this young Thomas Matthew Crooks, who has been identified as the shooter, well, he's a registered Republican and he was in active voting status, according to the voting database LexisNexis. And he went to Bethel Park High School, where by some reports, he was a great student. This story will emerge and grow as a number of narratives around Trump, around the safety and security of these events, around the nature of assassination, and around the turbid political atmosphere that has come to define our existence here in the United States. But today, what I want to give everyone is a short, sober-minded perspective on how to think about these attempts and how to think about assassinations of politicians and attempted assassinations of politicians sober-mindedly, because this is a topic that not just in our time has constantly drawn conspiracy theories. One of the reasons we see political violence in the way that we see it in this country is because we have a couple notorious examples of it that have some consequences that ring down the ages, but really consequential political assassinations have been studied. And I think the way that you can sober-mindedly approach these things is by taking a historical perspective. And when I say taking a historical perspective, I mean taking your emotions out of the picture. So for example, when I tell you that a man named Gavrilo Princip killed the Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria in 1914 in an incident that literally changed the world totally forever, you might not really respond to that much. Maybe you know what I'm talking about, but it was so long ago. You know, this is 100 years ago. But I'm going to tell you a short story here. But Gavrilo Princip was a Yugoslavian national. And he and five other conspirators found the route of this Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria during what was a very politically tumultuous time. But long story short, after this Archduke gave a speech at town hall, he went to visit the victims of a grenade attack. And to avoid the city center, they basically decided that they should travel straight along this one route. And they missed Princip. He had this all planned out, and they missed Princip. Princip was hiding out in the wrong place. And then Princip, after thinking that he failed, goes to a bar and ends up right outside Archduke Franz Ferdinand's car and shoots him at point-blank range with a Browning semi-automatic pistol. Now, the Austro-Hungarian government, who saw Serbia's nationalist vision as kind of a threat to its multi-ethnic empire, used this assassination as a pretext to take action against Serbia. And then a chain of events sort of comes from that, that's sometimes known as the July Crisis, which led to the outbreak of World War I. Okay, this is an event that directly caused one of the greatest losses of life in human history. There is a statue of Gavrilo Princip that still stands in Belgrade, and his legacy is complicated. Long after his death, he remains historically significant, as I'm mentioning him here, but he's polarizing, of course. In Yugoslavia, he's portrayed as a hero, and during World War II, you know, he was sort of thrown up as propaganda by the Nazis and Croatians, and he represents this youthful hero of armed resistance, a sort of freedom fighter who fought to liberate all the peoples of Yugoslavia. Now, I'm not suggesting at all that's what happened here. That's not at all what I am suggesting. What I am suggesting is that these events, when they're examined over the long scope of history, our emotions tend to be taken out of them. And what I would suggest for everyone who is reading about this event that is going to go down certainly as one of the most politically consequential events of my young life, I would suggest trying to take your emotions out of it and thinking about how you'd feel in 100 years reading this out of a history book. Not out of CNN, not out of Fox News. What are you going to think when you read, or when your great-great-grandchildren read, that a populist iconoclast with a radical agenda of change who had a history of making comments that were incendiary to some but refreshing to others? What would you think if you read in a history book that a 20-year-old kid took a shot at him at a campaign rally? Would you think that immediately this was a conspiracy by the other side? Stranger things have happened in history, but would it also be possible to think that the agenda of change that Trump had proposed, or the breadth of the character and the depth of the character that Trump has always been, made him a unique target? As the aftermath of many assassinations show, sometimes we never find out who the bad guys and the good guys really are, but I will say this. Do not follow your heart into the complicated matters and the complicated questions that surround our life today. Our hearts mislead us. Follow logic, follow reason, follow history, follow whatever readily discernible facts are available to you. You'll feel better, you'll know better, you'll be better.